Okay, I've got 9:02 a.m. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we come before you today asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, on this occasion, we are especially asking for you to grant peace, comfort, and wisdom to the lives that have been lost in Coryell County recently. Lord, we ask that you give us purpose, guidance, and direction in these events, as we do not always understand that the plan that you have laid out for us. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over and place your hand of protection on the first responders and our law enforcement, our military services, all those individuals that dedicate their lives to protect us on earth as you watch over us from heaven. And Lord, as always, we're going to ask that you place your hand of wisdom and guidance on this court so we may do here in Coryell County what pleases you and serves you best. Lord, we ask all of these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Yes, ma'am. If you'll please stand and state your name.
My name is Patra Stevenson.
And Ms. Stevenson, for our records, you don't have to give your address, but what precinct do you live in?
One.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
I am going to give my address. I live at 1246 Lutheran Church Road in Commerce Cove, Texas. And I'm here today because I'm seeking enforcement of the Coryell County Flood Damage Prevention Program. I have a blockage of the Zone A FEMA floodplain that is forcing water back onto my property. And that blockage is at 871 Twin Mountain Boulevard. And I want to read this. This is the statement of purpose out of that ordinance. It's the purpose of this order to promote the public health, safety, and general welfare and to minimize public and private losses due to flood conditions in specific areas by provisions designed to minimize expenditure of public money and costly flood control. So that hasn't worked for me so far. I've got, because of this blockage, I had $5,000 worth of fencing that was sucked down by the flood, pulled down by the blockage. I had to abandon part of my property, so part of my property is lost. And then I had to re-fence to hold my livestock in, so I've got $10,000 in fencing. And today I'm starting a $25,000 project. So it hasn't helped me at all. On December 24th of 2024, I sent a demand letter to the owner of the property. The outcome, no response, no action. That was sent by my attorney. On September 17, 2025, the Coryell County Attorney's Office notified the owner of the property that he was given 30 days to clear it in accordance with the ordinance. So the outcome of that was that specifically stated in the letter from the county attorney's office, they only stated that the metal barrier had to be removed. So He picked up the metal that had washed down during the flood on July 7th and left a small hole there. So on that area, there are many materials that are illegal in the floodplain. And it's not just a metal barricade that's there. In addition to the metal barricade, which still exists across the entire floodplain area on that fence line, there's a rock dam that's been fortified with railroad ties. There's mesh wire, chain link fencing, and gates, chain link gates, rolled up chicken wire that is shoved down into the ground to stop water. And recently, there are 32 contaminated 50-gallon barrels, oil drum barrels, that are in that floodplain, in that waterway. They're stacked there. They're all contaminated. So everything downstream from there has a risk of being contaminated. And there are about six tanks in my neighborhood. I'm upstream. They're all downstream. The flood actually starts on my property. It comes down the road. It comes from the mountain. And it comes into my stock tank from four different directions and then goes through the spillway and down into the creek, the natural creek, behind my dam and my tank, across the barrier if it can make it, and then flows on down to the other tanks of the other properties. So with this contamination, you're looking at livestock contamination, wildlife contamination, fish in people's tanks. And I have reported that to FEMA, and I have also reported it to the EPA. So hopefully they're going to look into that. I know the TCEQ came out and looked at it, I think, this week. One thing that I find really disturbing is that on November 10, 2025, I sent certified mail to Judge Miller and Commissioner Matthews requesting enforcement of the floodplain ordinance. The outcome of that was no response. On December 13th, I sent a request for public information on the floodplain administrator. The outcome of that was no response. On December 13th, I sent the second letter requesting enforcement of removal of the blockage in the floodplain. The outcome of that was no response. On December 18th and 19th, I exchanged emails with Travis Wilson, who is the Region 5 Director of the Texas Floodplain Management Association, and he confirmed that I am correct in my understanding that the Commissioner's Court has a responsibility to provide enforcement for the violations. And not only that association, the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program, the Texas Water Development Board, the Flood Management Assistance Program, FEMA and the TCEQ have all assured me that enforcement of the removal of this blockage comes from this court. This was your ordinance that you enforced. January 7th, I called Kyle Matthews and asked him if the court intended to do anything about this or everybody was going to just continue to ignore me. And he said that the DA's office had this and was handling it. Unfortunately, Commissioner Matthews, the case was closed in October, and nobody's been doing anything about it, which tells me, you know, where did my correspondence go? Nobody's reading it. Was it thrown in the trash? I've been trying desperately to get something done about this. You know, the ordinance that was adopted by this court is in place to protect property owners, and when it's not enforced, we're the ones that have to bear the burden of the expense of this flood damage, especially if it's man-made and deliberately caused by someone placing illegal materials to block the water in the floodplain. And I'm asking that you guys uphold this ordinance and that action is taken with this individual and that this blockage is removed from that floodplain. None of it is legal. Nothing that he has there is legal. You cannot block a FEMA floodplain. I texted Commissioner Matthews a video. Did you see the video of the water going across the top of my dam?
No, ma'am.
You didn't see the text?
It wouldn't come through.
Ms. Stevenson, I'm gonna have to ask you to wrap up. You're right at the 5 minute
Okay.
mark.
Do you have a map? I'm done basically, but I do have a map of the blockage and the FEMA flood map of where the blockage is. If y'all would like to look at it, can I hand it to you and maybe pass it around?
She'll hand it to the bailiff there. He'll take care of that. Thank you, ma'am.
And then I also have a picture here of the 32 contaminated oil drums that are sitting there in the waterway. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to get this.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Stevenson. Is there anyone else here in person that would? Yes, sir. If you'll please stand and state your name, please. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Elvis Losa. I'm a Central Texas resident, a U.S. Army combat veteran, and someone who believes deeply in that public service begins with showing up and listening. I'm here today because county government is where people feel leadership most directly. It is not abstract. It is roads that get us fixed or do not. It is emergency response times. It is how families experience government when something goes wrong and they kneel. Coryell County is also personal to me. Nearly 20 years ago, my wife and I, Abby, bought our first home in Calistoga. Like a lot of young families who were starting out, trying to build something stable and learning what it meant to put down roots. That experience shaped how I think about community growth and the long-term decisions local leaders have to make. Coryell County is growing, and growth brings opportunity. But it also brings real pressure on roads and infrastructure, pressure on emergency services, pressure on planning decisions that will shape this community for decades. These challenges are not solved overnight. They're not solved by sound bites. They require steady work and thoughtful coordination. Coryell County also manages a lot of spillover that comes with being near major military installations, including traffic, road work, and population shifts. That proximity adds complexity, and it is only one part of the broader set of responsibilities we all are balancing as the county grows. I've served both in uniform and in government, and one lesson has stayed with me. Trust is built face to face, and it starts with listening, especially when the answers are not easy or immediate. I'm currently running for Congress, and I want to be clear about why I'm here today. I'm not here to campaign. I'm here because anyone seeking to represent the district has a responsibility to understand how local government actually functions and where the real pressure points are. For me, that starts with being here, listening, learning, and respecting the responsibilities you all carry. I appreciate the work this court does on behalf of Coryell County, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Do we have anyone else here in person that would like to address the court this morning?
I'd like to ask a question here on road and my properties.
Yes, sir. If you could please stand and state your name.
My name is Clay Smith.
Yes, sir.
Here, Waco. I used to live here in Levada. I bought some property in Levada, 4510 FM 930. There's a road supposed to have been part of my property that I was told. I bought a place for the road there, but then I find out the road doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the county. The road is closed off. So I've asked around the neighborhood. I talked to Clarence Baker. He said that Bob Rudy and him had closed off the road by Mr. Gordon, if you can be a commissioner. Then he said him and Mr. Benton had closed off the other road on the other side. There's no paperwork or nothing on this. I'd like to get that road closed. It is closed because there's no way to get into it. Fenced off. Everything's fenced off over there. So watch it. I just like to get it added to my property. I'll pay the taxes on it. Just get it off the county books. If anybody would let me do that, appreciate it.
You know the name of the road? You know the name of the road we'll push?
What is the name of that? Adams?
Adams.
Adams Lane, and I live right
Adams Lane is not the one that's completely in fence, though. Adams Lane is open. It's used for access to a house at the end of Adams Lane. Are you talking about the road behind your property or the alley in between your property?
The alley in between my property. And then there's
so you're buying that other property on the other side of the alley, though, also, correct?
The other Benton place, yes.
The properties don't match yet?
Yeah. I ain't heard nothing on that yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting on that.
And I also live right behind him, and I do have half of that alley. It's in my flat.
So you live at the end of Adams Lane?
I live.
The house at the end of Adams Lane?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I live in Maureen and her husband's house.
So there's another old roadway and old alley that runs, I'm going to say north and south, in between you and the lot he owns and the one he's trying to buy, which is a separate alley from the alley that runs east and west off of 930, in between those other two pieces of property.
The property he's talking about, the Adams had fenced it off, Mr. Benson had fenced it off, because they said they own it. It's shown in my flat that I do own it, and the 60-foot easement, I went over to the Thayer's office, and I got my flat with me. If you want to see it.
So I have all of this laying on my desk. I have received probably phone calls or emails or information from perhaps all of y'all, I don't know, and some from the title company and from Quintero Engineering, I believe, a survey, and talked to the folks that maybe the parent, the children of the people that are selling the one you're trying to buy, and it's no different than every other one of these little communities in Imperial County that weren't built out. They have all have issues with roadways and alleyways that were not built. Flat, Levada, Leon Junction, you name them, they're out there, same issues. The resolution of each one of these pieces of property is not the same. So like the alleyway between the two pieces of property that's been continuously under fence for 25 years or more, the law says, is over with. It's abandoned by the county under the law. It's done. But it reverts back one half each to each side, which is not always what people want to do. And so there's a lot going on out there. I have it all on my desk. It is a mess. Legally, it's a mess because it's different in different locations out there. There are people that use part of it for access. The Commissioner's Court can't close Adams Lane. If they do, the property's going to revert one half back each to each side of the roadway, and you won't have a dedicated roadway to your home. So there's some legal stuff that's got to be done there, in my opinion. And
actually, there's two places back there now.
Okay.
Block 16 is on.
And so I've responded to someone about this issue, obviously not one of y'all, about the fact that there's two solutions to this problem. One is for y'all to hire an attorney and a surveyor and go formulate a plan to fix it, bring that to the court for approval. The other is to be patient and wait on me. Them's your two choices.
And you are, sir?
I'm the county attorney, Brandon Belt.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And yeah, you got mine on your desk.
Okay. So I'm working on it. It's not a simple solution. It's not a quick solution. Sorry.
Well, all I know is what I mentioned it when Mr. Benson was still alive about that alley there.
Yes, ma'am.
And he said that him and Maureen took half. Hearsay, I know.
I understand. I've searched the deed records, I've searched the commissioner report records, and I can find no action that's occurred on any of these that we're talking about. There has been some on other locations in Levada that I can find, and some of them I was involved in over the last 20 years, but not on this location. I can't find anything on it.
Well, all I know is the property behind me that Shelly, I can't remember her name, her last name, owned, used to be owned by Mrs. Adams, and she sold it to... what's his name? You mentioned his name. Rudy.
Bob Rudy and
Bob Rudy.
Westfall.
And it included the 20-foot, and I have on paperwork 20-foot easement on it. And that it went clear all the way up to the fence line.
Yes, and it further complicates the legal matters and the title matters regarding an old abandoned roadway that has not ever been officially closed by the county that was previously dedicated to public use in a plat many, many years ago that now someone has given someone else a easement across that they didn't have a legal right to give because they didn't own it. And so there's all kinds of stuff going on there. I understand. I've looked at it all. If it was quick and easy, I would already have it done.
But it's not. I understand them. But I mean, it's been fenced in. The ad was fenced in. So that was there before my sister bought it from the ad, Marine Adams. And the house was built in 1949.
Yes, ma'am.
So I don't know what else to say other than that.
Is that on the 2009 road list? I know the 104 is.
No, it's I couldn't find it ever being on our. It's I don't think.
Which one?
Adam.
Adam Lane.
I think you got that. I think got that name from 911. Yeah. Coordinated from.
There's no sign saying it's Adam Lane.
No.
But on.
Sorry, Judge.
Has
been laying on my desk a while and I've got them all together. So.
Well, this. But I do need to kind of summarize because we're pushing that 5 minutes and this is in the public forum is not really an open discussion thing. I mean, we respond to comments. What I can tell you as a factual statement is that in varying degrees, as Mr. Belt has already alluded to, with different property owners in that area trying to buy and or sell property, it has been individual issues. Mr. Belt, I think, succinctly stated it that really, whether the county initiates the action to resolve this or not, it's going to take a cooperative effort from every landowner that is affected. I'm not inclined to do some level of eminent domain to take something from somebody that already has something, but there's got to be an equitable resolution. I am more inclined to believe that we address it as a whole rather than piecemeal, because that's kind of what we've done in the past is when somebody was affected, they came to the court or they came to the county attorney. We got one little smidgen of it resolved and then moved on. It is a mess that is, I think we're right about the 100-year mark. I believe that flat plat was filed in the 30s. If I recall correctly, the initial plat. So it's taken us 100 years to get to this point, give or take. And in that, there are areas in the Levada, this subdivision or this development that has been put under fence. And so now we have to balance what has been put under fence, and there's state statutes that identify that, you know, if it's been under fence for 25 years or greater, I believe that's the amount of time that Mr. Belt indicated, well, then we've got to resolve and we've got to deal and address that as well. What I believe is prudent at this point is working with Commissioner Matthews, get some public involvement, possibly a public meeting with affected landowners. And I think we can help identify all of the property owners that would be affected. Come to a gentleman's agreement, gentle person's agreement. I don't want to be gender discriminatory. So come to an agreement with the landowners that's amicable, and then file some type of plat or amended plat or vacating a plat based off some surveys. It will obviously take some time. Again, the first issue of this that was brought up I was involved with was in the 2019-2020 timeframe, but it is ongoing. And as Mr. Belt alluded to, it is not specific to just Levada, the community of Levada. There are other communities that are affected by this as well. So with that, I will give you another few seconds because we're at the end of our little 5 minute time period here for this. But if there's any other questions that you would like the court to look into or any final statements. Yes, sir.
I've got some property across the road on the property you're talking about. And I've got a road that runs, there's an old Simpson road that runs in my property. I have property on both sides of the road. It's not going anywhere, but just to my property. And I would like to get buy from the county or whatever I need to do to get it straight.
Sir, that's part of what I'm trying to allude to is I'm not going to talk about the legalities of it, but I am not sure what the county's legal rights or access to property that we have never maintained and we've never accepted. It was designated as public use, but it was never accepted by the county in any roadway. So there's, those are the intricacies. That's what I'm trying to say. There are several issues that we have to look at here.
Aunt Mildred had the deed, handwritten deed to the churches and the graveyard and the schoolhouse and all that. And all the roads there in Nevada were, you know, essentially my family's road. And I'm not trying to, I just want to, you know, there's a road running into my property. It goes those where it dead ends into my property, and there's no reason for anybody to have access to it.
But it's got a county road number.
Huh?
It's got a county road number. 104, is that
the road? No, there's another one.
103?
No.
105. 105, that's it.
You can't. It's across the church house where he's buying.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Baptist Church.
They're
right there on the same road, and Mr. Benson's house is in
between. It's not Adams Road or the end of it. It's the next road up.
On the same side of FM 930 or on the opposite
side? It's on the west side of the 930.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, 104 is a maintained road. The alleyway below it, there's an alleyway above it, then there's another county road.
Mm-hmm. You have pulled up there?
Yeah. County Road 105 does not look like it's.
I think it's any less. I'd have to look at my maintenance list.
105.
Yeah,
105 is not maintained.
Here's Pat of the area that I think he's talking about. It's my property. This is Clay's property. And here's this road.
Yeah, this is mine right here. Here's that road right here. You want to look at it. The street I'm talking about.
Okay, but this is my property. Here, so this is
105. Yeah, 105. Yes,
sorry, sir.
Okay,
right here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're gonna have to.
Only excess is on 930.
Yes.
We're gonna have to move on. We've allocated more than an adequate amount of time. This is not gonna get
the agenda.
That.
Yes.
And you live in precinct one, is that correct?
I'm sorry.
Yes. Commissioner, can you handle?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, I'll explain it again.
Okay.
It's a process, but yeah.
Can
you read, Mr. Lee, afterwards. No problem.
Okay.
It's a process. When are we going to have this meeting, like in Nevada?
Give me some time. I still have to visit with the county attorney. He's got to work through a lot of this. Okay? But we'll get it set up.
Okay.
And there's another piece of property I want to buy. Two pieces of property.
Yes, sir. Sir, we understand.
But I got to buy it to the county. From the county.
We've got to move on.
We'll get involved in all that.
Okay, is there anyone else in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that's participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are five items listed there. At the court's discretion, you can choose to approve the consent agenda altogether, or you can choose to select any one or all of those to be discussed and considered individually.
Make a motion to approve consent agenda A, B, C, D, and E.
Second. We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number six? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six on the agenda is the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Good. For the month of December, we had 46. We closed out 25 work orders. We had 46 pending currently. We bladed added base to six roads. Bladed 25 roads, turned brush in four locations.
Mr. Latham, excuse me. If y'all need to have a conversation, if you'll please exit the court. All right, Mr. Latham, go ahead. Thank
you. Hard brush, four locations, cleaned out and repaired three cattle guards, cleaned out two CMPs, cleaned ditch two locations, cleared debris or fallen trees, 14, repaired three driveway entrances. We've been crushing at the Hempel pit and starting preparations to make three prep or FEMA jobs. Jobs at the Cummins pit. Pushed through fence rows, mowed grass full width for 31 locations, patched nine locations, installed 17 county road name signs, one speed limit, one stop sign. Only replaced one culvert, stabilized ditch at one location, and been trimming trees at 11 locations.
Okay, very
I'd
good.
Make a motion to accept the road.
We've got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number six? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number seven is discussion and update on the transition of IT services. We had another meeting last week via Zoom with Goldsmith and their process, and I think they're making good process or good progress in that transition of things. I believe that they've made contact with every or all of our departments and have assessed kind of what their immediate needs are. And starting to plan out, longer term needs. They have all of our networks mapped. They have gone back and looked at all of our network connections, whether it be fiber, telephone wire. There's a lot of them out there that they're still don't even know where the end purpose is. And if I remember correctly, Commissioner Weller, they said there's an old copper wire. Telephone wire that's still active in the courthouse. Yes. That they really don't know. I mean, we're getting billed for it, but we don't know where it goes. Yeah, it may be. So they're
not laughing, but there's those things that just happen.
There are a lot of things that they've discovered, and I truly believe that one of the best decisions this court has made, because they have a fresh set of eyes and they're discovering a lot of things that are going to, I think being cost-saving measures, in the long run. And with that, I think that they're being very judicious in, how they're doing quick fix things right now. They have repaired the panic button system within the courthouse and some other outlying facilities, tested those, got that back. And I believe there's just one, the radio piece of it, I think it was the last element with the courthouse, but they're very quietly and very efficiently, they're making inroads as to get us transitioned. Mr. Goldsmith did not give a specific date, but I still believe that within the next 2 weeks, they will have transitioned over all of our IT functions from FA to under the Goldsmith umbrella. But all of our departments need to continue to operate as they're currently operating. If you have a break fix ticket, contact F8. Or if you are have been using blazing technology in the past, continue to do that until we give you that definitive date of when we will cut everything over. Even as you log on, you may see a little icon in the lower right-hand side that indicates that is Goldsmith Solutions monitoring software that's running in the background. That way they've been able to, they've been able to get an inventory of what all the computer systems and devices are that have been logged on, that are working specifically through our consolidated server at the Waco Data Center. But ultimately, we still have some onesies and twosies out there that have not been tied to the system. So there'll be a few more that will be coming online. That's the quick update. I would then, Commissioner Weddle, anything else that I've missed? Or
no, you summed it up great. They did go visit the server facility in Waco. They did say the installation was very well done. That's part of that, you know, transition. They're waiting for the passwords to be able to access the full array of servers. And then there will be a transition for some to the final TX.gov. There's still a few of that. And so yeah, I'm very, very optimistic about the progress they're making. Thank you, Doug.
Any questions or anything to add under item number 7? Are you sure you're good, Commissioner Basham?
I am.
I mean, because you're my biggest critic on this, and I try to.
Yeah, big chief tablet, but number 2 pencil.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. We'll move on to item number 8. Looking at update and actions on grants to include, but not limited to, the hazard mitigation plan. There's been no change to that. Still in a collection phase. The Resilient Communities Program, if you'll note that I did have a time slotted for the workshop for this afternoon. I did not get confirmation back from MRB on that. So I do not know that we will even have that component to go, but there's been no update on the RCP at this point. The Community Development Block Grant, CDBG-MIT, there was a meeting on last week on January 5th. I believe that was Monday. I was not able to attend that meeting, but I did not get any word that we're anywhere not on course with what I had previously briefed. So we should be approaching the 60% engineering phase on those 4 projects with that 90% level coming in. In the next 60 days, at which time the court will make approval to either accept those engineering designs or reconfigure those prior to them being sent out for bid. Did Desiree give you any notes on the CDBG-MIT meeting, or did you have any notes on it?
I didn't intend to.
Okay.
It was just kind of a follow-up. It wasn't a major one.
No, it's a, yeah. Okay. So any questions on CDBG-MIT? We did have our third reimbursement was submitted last week as well. So another, we should see another $35,000. And understand that's a fully funded grant. So we're just kind of the pass-through. As funds go out, funds come in. So that's no cost to our taxpayers. And so everything that's been invoiced has been submitted for reimbursement as well. DR 4781, I believe Mr. Latham has presented to you already the crux of the good news and where we are with that. I just signed off and submitted and has been sent to TEDM. For reimbursement of $799,000 and some change. I'll take his word for it that it's $799,500.
Well, I didn't count the pennies in there.
Good. Okay, so you didn't. Yeah,
that's,
so
that's my rough summary for you guys this morning. But the sheet I passed out to y'all shows the PWs and dollar amounts, and we sent that letter signed off to Tatum. From what we're being told, we should get that money in 1 to 2 weeks from Tatum. Take any of that for granted. It might be a month, it might be 2 days. So, but the money has moved from FEMA to Tatum. Tatum sitting on it. They had received the signature approval. Now they will start processing it to wire to us. There is also another package of PWs that should drop in Tatum any day now. They were around Christmas, which FEMA and the holidays and stuff should move.
We turn it off.
Should move from the federal side to Tatum in the amount of around $381,000. Two more PWs there on the notes, but it's really good news. Desiree's done an awesome job on this.
I'm sure
kind of thank her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We still have 9 or 13, I get the numbers mixed up, PWs left so that we have not touched. We are scoping with FEMA right now. I don't know, $400,000 or $500,000, just a guess, wild guess. Another $400,000 or $500,000 on those projects to wrap up. Some of those are more complicated. Gonna have to hire some contractors, finish some concrete. We're gonna work with Langford and see how we go about securing that. We're gonna try to do most of it in-house, but we will need somebody set forms and finish for us. Most of them are low water crossing bridge repairs. So in my road and bridge report, we talked about we're crushing rock in one of our pits, another pit we're starting to prep to make riprap. A lot of them jobs are riprap underneath bridges, so we're going to try to start manufacturing that. They've got a deadline on some of those of March, I believe, somewhere in there, but we're going to file an extension. They just want to start to see the movement on that, but we're not going to really move anything yet until we start getting scopes of works. And so the process is, people will look at it, we'll look at it, they'll write a scope of work, we'll write a scope of work, then we meet and see where we come together at on it, put a dollar amount to it. Once we all agree, then they sign it off as a PW. These are a little different. The other ones were done with forced account. These could either be done with forced account or national averages. Once that all is determined, go to work on them. I mean, we could go to work on them right now and track forced account, but sometimes it's better to do national averages on projects that aren't done.
And with that, I believe the last two, you know, groupings of these PWs, there is a level of mitigation that's involved with a lot of the individual sites. And that is one of the things that we're still working through. You know, there's two big ones out there that really need, you know, a pretty hefty level of engineering that we're still trying to work through. But
and Joe's kind of highlight on that, that's the complicated part to get back to existing pre-disaster, existing condition. We could go out there and throw some rock on it or get it back to that. But my issue with two of the 13 is it's not really a good fix. We need some help designing that. We put rock here. We just moved the erosion down this channel.
Yeah.
That's the version zero. There's two of them. So Desiree did talk to FEMA. And it's 13 or 9. I can't remember. Anyways, let's call them 13. 13 of them. 11 of them we're going to split out into another project because we can do those pretty much in-house with a little bit of contractor help.
Okay.
The two that we're going to be seeking engineering help on will be in their own package so they don't hold one another up.
Okay.
And that's the version zero that they're trying to get approved for $100,000. Essentially, it's like they're going to loan us $100,000. We get the engineers to review it, pay the engineers out of that, then we turn around and use the engineer helps build the price, the design, everything, and then turn around and do the project. it would be in $100,000 be recouped in the project.
I get you.
Yeah. That's really all I have, because it's been a long road.
I mean, get some return on that long road.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're coming up on this would be, March will be 2 years of working on this to recover. And it just, we move at the speed of government. And I say this a little bit of tongue in cheek. Commissioner Basham, when you wrap up things today and you start praying for rain. Pray for moderate rain. We're still trying to recover from 2024. I do not want to revisit that in 2026 while we're.
I don't mean it, Judge. I lost my chair. So, yeah.
Okay. No. Good update, Mr. Latham. I appreciate that. Any questions or comments under item D, under DR 4781? Okay. And E, Leon Cowles Flood Project, I've not received any additional updates. The last I'd seen, and I believe it's reflected even on our online map, is some of the additional sensors that were placed within Coryell County to monitor, the water rise, water levels on the cowhouse, the Leon, and some subsidiary creeks. Coryell Creek and some others as well.
Is a little bit on that?
If you got some additional, yeah.
So, community agency, like an American Conservation
ACF.
ACF is trying to start a pilot program. They've reached out to us about doing a match on building some bridges. So, and speaking with them a little, this was around Christmas, it's holiday, just kind of slowed all that. They're looking at it, if I build, like, say, Yoder Bridge, they would match Yoder Bridge. So, probably going to be bringing something to the court next week about how we do that. So, just kind of.
Well, and kind of how all that ties together a little bit is. I think we're in a much better position to be able to consider, what they're proposing at this time, given that I believe there is going to be an influx of some funding into the road and bridge cash account here in the very near future. And I understand, too, that that's already budgeted money. That is, so there would have to be some diversions of, what was planned versus, this isn't like new money. This is money that was budgeted as revenue. So it is filling the coffers that we had budgeted. That being said, it does put us in a positive cash flow position as far as spending for the year overall, which would allow the court to then consider possibly restructuring within the budget some of those funds and how they would be utilized, because it really is it's a kind of a two for one on low rider crossings. I mean, that's 50% split, and that's not a bad deal when you're talking about under this program. What they're proposing is it would not be replacing a low water crossing. It would be removing a low water crossing to establish a clear span bridge.
And then being a foundation, I bet the money flows a lot faster than a state agency. I'm going to guess.
I would not bet against you.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment. That.
And this really all I have
to. Okay.
Just thank you.
Okay. all right. So, any alibis or any of the grants that the court wishes to consider under item number 8?
Just the only thing I asked is I was surprised. I texted Ms. Brooke Thompson with MRB, and you might want to check your, because she said, I just asked her if she received it. She said, no, sir. Last communication I had was asking about December 9th, totally my scheduling contract. And so there must be some Maybe you're sending it to a wrong email or something.
I will double check myself.
He said he wasn't aware of.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else to consider under item number 8? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 9, which is an update on construction projects. Not sure who had asked for that when there.
I think that's been just ongoing.
I'll give you a little bit of update on the old tax office. We got that MO very quickly. Actually, 2 days after court, hauled off. And then these storage items that were in there got hauled off. There was some stuff that was stored in there. And then the plans are still being worked on. They're getting close, the footprint.
Is the footprint close enough that I could write a bid proposal off of it?
Oh, I think so. I have it. I've just got to bring it in. And
yeah, if I could, because, I mean, we're cutting down, you know, on time. I mean, you know, so I want to be able to get something out there. Obviously, we're going to need a, walkthrough day so they can, take the design, anybody who's going to want to bid on it and then come take a look in the assessment. But I'd really like to push that out as soon as we can get something on it.
Okay.
And I understand I know you've got, there's a lot of youth fair activity stuff.
Oh, not that. I got it to her.
That,
wait for her to give the okay.
Okay.
There's a post in the way. We're working on it.
Non-approvable post.
Oh, no, every post is removable. Now, there may be some consequences to removing that post. But.
Might take 3 or 4 years, but it eventually gets there.
Go take a look at all of what's upstairs. It may not take 3 or 4 years for it to.
I'm giving it to me.
Okay. All right. That kind of clarifies that. Thank you for the update on that. Anything else to consider under item number 9?
The air handler project was completed Friday. There will be a final walkthrough sometime next week. If anybody would like to walk through, we can already. Check it out. But they get clean. I'm waiting on Charlie and Jake Cady to reach out to me. He said hopefully the first of next week. I'll holler at you.
Use your phone?
Send us an email.
You're going to get a phone call.
Send us an email.
Get a phone call.
Send us an email.
You're going to get a phone call.
Because that is something that, I think more than two commissioners could show up as long as we're not making any decisions or questions. But getting up in that attic is always fun.
And then on the broader, the people that are doing it, their shop burned up, and the parts that they had ordered for was ordered complete got burned up in the shop. And there has been new parts ordered for, so that should be completed hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
But I do want to make it clear, because he kind of cuts himself, he sells himself short. These are parts that are designed to make the system more efficient. If one of the boilers, there's two boilers there, if one of those goes down, this is a diversion so that one of them's not overworking it, kind of reroutes some things. It is an upgrade to the system overall, but it is much needed. But the system that we have right now, the two boilers are both up and operating to the extent that, according to Commissioner Basham, that we've had to go turn the temperature down over there. It's working so good. So I didn't want him to make you think that we're at a mission critical point where if something fails, we're in a bad. This is recommended upgrades to make the two work better within the jail. Is that a?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. All right, one more time. Any alibis under item number 9? Hearing none, then we'll move on to item number 10, which is to consider a canine donation of $1,000 from the Gatesville
Family Living LLC. Got a motion to approve the donation from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 11 is discussion of grant concerning the Senate bill under immigration. I believe the sheriff had asked to have this placed on the agenda.
I know everybody's probably aware. If you're not, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt as it pertains to illegal immigration and being incarcerated in local jails, what have you. Well, there has been a lot of stuff put on the plate of the sheriffs in Texas. And with that, they understand there's going to be a need for some funding. So the state has put forth an $80,000 grant that the sheriff himself can apply for. But it will be tied to our Senate Bill 22 law bills. With that being said, it's in the sum of $80,000. $80,000 ain't much, but also with that comes an unfunded mandate from sheriff. With that being said, there were three models to choose from. Of course, we don't have the jail space to haul, for them to haul immigrant detainees in.
Right.
So we went with the warrant officer. Warrant officer will work hand in hand with the feds, with the state, to if we have somebody come into our facility for a violation of state law, then we will do the appropriate paperwork and procedure for the illegal immigration portion. With that being said, I have one of my jail staff, one of my senior jail staff, actually two of my senior jail staff, one of them being Sergeant Kevin Phillips. What you don't know about Kevin Phillips is he is retired out of law enforcement from California, moved here, wanted to get involved, got involved with us. He has just soared through the ranks. Well, with all of this coming down, I made mention to him, hey, have you ever thought about getting your Texas peace officer? With that, he went and challenged Ted. Now he is a peace officer being paid as a jailer. What I would like to do with a portion of that money, since he is my guy that I now have signed up to take care of the state and the federal departments, he is our warrant officer. And with that, I would like to take a portion of this grant funding and bring his salary up to a deputy salary. There is a lot of work that he has to do, a lot of training that he has to go through still for this, because of ICE training and all that kind of stuff. And I believe that's where this money would be best fitted, is to fund that position, because it is a mandate. If we don't do it, then we can throw the feather in our business and use their money to fix the problem. But anyway, either way, whether we accept the grant or whether we still have to do it, I just asked the court that we utilize that money to fund the warrant officer that I need for this position. He's already a jailer, already works for me at sergeant level. I would just like to bring his data and status up to a deputy, where he can be a dual purpose. He'll be a supervisor in the jail, plus he will be an investigator for this immigration issue we have. Any questions for anybody?
I don't have any. So I guess, well, sure, this is a memorandum of agreement. So I guess it'll be a grant.
Yes,
it will be. Follows a grant after we.
Yes, there's, okay, there's twofold. We have to enter into that agreement. There,
right,
are three choices. And then it will be up to the court to decide whether or not we want to accept their money. We chose the warrant officer model because it's kind of what we do now.
Right.
You violate state law, you come into our custody. Now you're an illegal immigrant, what have you. We will take care of, now we take care of that portion. The other models, not so much, because, you know, I don't want, right, them to pick up 40 in Brownsville, right, and haul them to us and, okay, fill our last 10 beds, you know.
They're kind of what I gleaned.
It's kind of what we've done historically.
Yeah.
I mean, the last several sheriffs before me, when they violate state law and come into our purview and our custody, okay, now we'll take care of this other portion as well. When we call ICE, they put a hold, a detainer on them. Then in 10 days, they come get them, process them, do whatever they do. And, but they have to fulfill our commitment, violate state law before we can do anything, before we will do anything as far as ICE did. But it's something we've always done. I mean, ever since I've been here, it's been that way. And I know a lot of the other sheriffs are utilizing that model because it's the least impact to our infrastructure.
Where is the grant that you're talking about? Because that's really kind of, I think, what we're supposed to be considering today is the grant application piece. But all we got was the
what it is it has to follow the same track as Senate Bill 22. The credentials that we utilize to get Senate Bill 22 is all the login stuff. We have talked with Matthew about it already. All of that, the application process opened January 1. So it'll be just like that. It just has to have my e-signature on it because it's sheriff will apply for it. Well, I don't have the credentials because the sheriff didn't apply for the Senate Bill 22.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. I think they're just hurried up and rushed everything in. But bottom line, we work hand in hand with everybody and try to fulfill that and get that application. I believe it's that grant, I don't think has a limit on it as far as who can get it. And I believe that they, I'd have to pull the email back up again, but it is open for the entire year. So, you know, usually they'll shut it off, but it's open the entire year. The information on this is kind of sparse. I mean, they're kind of putting it towards Senate Bill 22, and I thought that was kind of weird to say, okay, Senate Bill 22, but it takes commissioner's court and the county judge to do the Senate Bill 22. But then they put in there, well, the sheriff is the only one that can file. But I don't have those credentials. Anyway, whatever I can do, I'll work hand in hand with you, Conrad and I, Captain McClinton. I just asked the court that, you know, I'd like to utilize some of that money to, you know, make sure we have the warrant officer to be paid accordingly and all the training that it's going to take for that warrant officer. And then from then on, we just plug that $80,000 or whatever becomes into, you know, feeding and housing, what we have, you know, the expenditure becoming. Anyway, thank y'all. And any more questions, please give me a holler. Maybe I'll answer all of them.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Hey, Judge, I'll get back. We'll pay for the email to you. That way you can kind of look it over.
Okay.
And see what kind of question.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks. Anything else that the court wishes to consider or discuss under item number 11?
I guess the question is, do we need to approve this MOA?
It was requested to be a discussion at this point.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I think that's what we're limited to. But I think that there's some more information will come out, and I think we can probably package this pretty quickly as an action item once we work out those fine details. Any other discussion under item number 11? Hearing none. Item number 12 is to consider FY 2026-27 interlocal agreement for the regional public defender for capital cases. Copy of that agreement went out in your packet. This is every 2 years based off the legislative cycle. Since I've been in office, since prior to me coming in office, this is an interlocal agreement, and I don't always like describing it this way, but this is our insurance policy, if you will, on capital process or the defense of capital crimes. And so the agency that we interact with you know, assigns the defense for it, handles the defense of that. And our contribution for both this year as well as FY27 would be $44,912. Mr. Bell, anything to add? Did I muddle through that?
I have terrible attitude about it, Judge. Don't ask me. I have terrible attitude about the bunch of bleeding heart liberal defense attorneys that do the dead level fest to make sure that they try to get the county to spend so much money on capital cases that we back off the death penalty. That's their sole number one goal in life, just like all of those people in that business, is to abolish the death penalty group dollars since they can't do it. Yeah. But I digress.
I probably would have been better off if I would have looked up. I see Mr. Boyd is with us. Mr. Boyd, would you?
Well, I would, okay. Yeah, I would welcome any, because I was kind of trying to dig through this, and I mean, I noticed one that signed interloc is due back by September 30th of 2025. So I don't know what we've been doing since September of 2025. And then for our $44,000, I know, Judge, you said insurance. What are we getting for $44,000?
They provide the defense attorneys.
You're getting right. The attorney's fees.
The attorneys. They provide the defense attorneys.
Right. Not the expert fee. The county has to sue or pay for all the expert fees that the defense attorneys go with. Contract to retain, so the $44,000 is just to the regional defender's office for the attorney's fees only. But in my experience, that value for the attorney's fees is one thing, but it's what these attorneys do with the expenditures related to experts that come in is where it really drives the cost.
And this is capital murder only.
Capital murder, death penalty only. Where we've had, by time, three where I've designated death penalty. All three settled with life without parole. Most recent last year. But just so the court's educated, that $44,000 is just to pay for the lawyer.
Right.
And then whatever the lawyer's doing, within their discretion. Only by approval of the district judge when they're asking for experts and they're asking for additional money for investigation. The judges are the gatekeepers for that in terms of when the defense requests, you know, budget for their experts.
Yeah, my eyes were opened a couple of years ago when I saw this travel agency bill in there for several thousand dollars. And I was thinking, man, are we taking, you know, trips? And I found out, yeah, we're having to pay all the travel expenses, yeah, for deals and everything for these.
That's usually for our victims.
So, okay.
The family that are moved away. If you're seeing the receipts on travel, that's
okay, that's within our.
On flying people back and forth who have moved away. It is, in a nutshell, it's a necessary evil. I do believe there are there are attorneys in the area that are very well qualified to fit a capital murder death penalty case. However, their expenses justifiably so would be more than $44,000. And that's the reality.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd make a motion to approve the FY26-2027 interloper agreement, regional defenders for capital cases.
I'll second that.
Got a motion to approve the interlocal agreement from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to... is to consider budget amendment number one for FY 2026. I believe Mr. Wood had provided that as well as the supporting documentation that went out in your packet. But it's basically a movement of $4,092.91.
I make motion to approve amendment number one.
Second.
Got a motion to approve budget amendment number one from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say none. No. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 14 is discussion and considerate transition of IT services. Commissioner Matthews.
Just wanted it left on there. I guess I overlooked the first one on the draft because I didn't see it on the draft. So I asked for it to be on there to make sure that we got some other.
Okay. Right. Very good. So anything that you'd want to cover under 14?
Did we ever get back when they were going to try to? Did we have another meeting Thursday or something?
We got the Thursday.
My only confusion is I didn't think there's supposed to be any Upstart expense, but it seems to me like we're about to pay them $17,000 and some odd dollars, and they hadn't started yet the break fix. So let's start with us getting ready to get started. I don't think there's going to be any Upstart costs, but they're just going to charge us when they started.
The $17,000, based off the contract that we signed with them, began in December.
Yeah.
So we paid a December payment of $17,000. We're paying a January payment of $17,000 and some change.
And they still haven't started yet. I mean, they've started trying to figure out what they're going to do to take over, but they ain't started yet. My computer breaks. I can't call in to fix it. And we paid them. I don't know what. For what? Getting ready to get started. Anyway, don't feel the complaints when they hit.
Okay, item number 15, discuss a building use policy for Coryell County public spaces. Commissioner Whittle.
Just asked for this to be put on because we had a discussion, I guess, a couple of courts ago. And of course, we discovered we do not have a building use policy. And so I sent to you guys the email that I had forwarded to Mr. Belton, just some examples of a couple of other counties. Grayson, Starr, and Tarrant. Obviously, Tarrant being much larger than us. I do like their very simple Denton's request forms. Mm-hmm. It's very, very simple.
Denton was the first one on the list.
I believe so. I did the same thing that I do every time. I just go out there and, Google search it and see if I can find, I bet if we dig further, we might be able to find a county, maybe more of our size, type and shape. I've rethought also, if this could keep us from, if somebody requests to use the parking facility or that other, this could be, I think, included under this policy, and all they would have to do is just fill out that form and then we would just approve it instead of trying to do a I think sometimes we do an interlocal agreement and that kind of so unfortunately this is gonna end up falling back in Mr. Bell's lap to help somebody on this court develop a some kind of a building use. I mean, the Grayson County is nice because it's only two of two pages. I don't even know where Grayson County is. But it seems like it's a much smaller county, kind of more condensed. Want to get that information in y'all's hands? If anybody wants to volunteer to head that up. Oh, I got there.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, concerns under item number 15? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 16, which is to pay bills. We've had bills presented the amount of $968,597.31.
Motion to pay the bills.
Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 17, reports. Commissioner Matthews.
We do have the youth fair going this week. I think it's here. One other thing that that's it.
Commissioner Weddle?
Is the best way to, I guess, to access what's really going on in the youth fair, is that Facebook or is there a website?
If you have the Correo County Youth Fair website, it's got the schedule.
I have in the past. It's sometimes not the easiest to find.
Yeah, pull up the handbook.
Okay.
And the handbook will
give
you the schedule.
Okay.
They've been posting updates on their Facebook page.
Yeah, that in the past that's been the best, you know, way to kind of track when the different events are.
Okay.
That's all I got. Just wanted clarification of that.
Very good. Commissioner Basham?
Yeah, the fair is going on this week, and I think today's the rabbit show. Pray for rain. Moderation.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Basham. Commissioner Taylor?
Yeah, I want to send up prayers for Carpenter Cove PD and the officer and the officer's family and everything. I'm along with Mr. Basham. I want to go a little over moderate rain. And then we got the youth fair.
Can we keep it under flood level?
Yeah.
Keep the request
just under.
Just under. Okay. All right.
I want to wash all the red spiders down the flat, get away from me.
Yeah, send them all.
I'm about to have to do some planting, so I don't want my hayseed to end up down the river. I mean, Commissioner Bash can tell you about that back in 15, 16. Good looking coastal sprigs.
Yeah. Phew. Got it done that night or that evening, and the next day it was gone. River got out and washed it all away.
And we've been kind enough not to charge you to come remove your coastal from our field, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Taylor?
Not yet.
I appreciate that. The only thing to add to what Commissioner Taylor was saying, for those of you that may be interested, and I know this is kind of the part of the youth fair as well, but there will be a candlelight vigil for the police officer at Ogletree Park on Saturday the 17th, which again, conflicts coincides, however you want to address it, with the youth fair auction at that night. But I'm going to do my best to try to be representative of both of those places. Sad event. I appreciate all of the community's support. If you've seen any of the news reports, Bell County, Lampasas County, all points in between have been very supportive in this whole endeavor, and that's all I've got. Do have two items for consideration at the closed meeting executive session, items 19 and 20. Item number 19. Pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation in a matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality, to include but not limited to that case of Coryell County versus Purdue Pharma as filed in the 152nd District Court in Harris County, and pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.072, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property. Please note that there are no action items to come out of that. However, we do have a workshop scheduled for 1:30 this afternoon. That will be with Architexes LLC to discuss the final draft of the courthouse master plan prior to its submission to the Texas Historical Commission. They had sent me an access link to it, and I'll call it a link because I could not access it. So when they get here, I know you're going to be seeing it for the first time. What I talked with Alexis about is that we will discuss this afternoon, kind of go through it. She'll hit some of the highlights. She will not be submitting that until the end of this week. So if there are specific comments that you may have that you feel strongly about with that plan, you will have this week to be able to submit those to her to be able to get that submitted. So with that, we will the front conference room is being used, so we're going to use the downstairs vault room right back over here. I've got 10:22. Let's reconvene in executive session at 10:30, give you just a few minutes there to take a break and get situated. So we are in recess at this time. Thank you all.